Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
All right, this was a brutal night for VCU basketball as a whole with another brutal finish. And Dan Gaetanis in the game thread is sitting here saying we did not blow this game. We lost to a great, resilient team. Half of that's true. The other half is not true. We did blow this game. And yes, we played well in a loss. And you know what? In a day or two, I will be happy to engage on how well this team played and how many good things they did do that could help them in Brooklyn. But I am sorry. You cannot be as brain dead. You cannot be as lazy. You cannot poorly communicate on defense as much as this team does and do anything in Brooklyn. And I am getting sick to the back teeth of it because we know this team can play good defense. We know this team can do the right things. And now 3 games in a row, I've watched this team play absolutely abysmal defense and make just ludicrous mistakes to get beat in games they should have won. Zeb, those layups are a killer, and honestly, I think that's why he took that shot at the end of regulation, because he didn't have any confidence he could make the layups. Even though he's getting to the rim a lot, it's been a problem, and he's got to freaking work on it. And it's tough to kill Zeb. He had 26 tonight. And Furman tried his best. That was a terrible mistake at the end. But you're putting Christian Furman in a bad spot, asking him to hold the ball like that up there. And you know what, coach? You could have called a dead gum timeout and saved that possession. You had a bunch of them. You had 3 of them going into the overtime. Brian Sistak, you know why it was 25 fouls to 6? Because they were aggressive in driving the basket, and too often we could not get inside the lane at all. There was a way to win. Brian says that that's wrong. There was a way to win. There was a way to get win, but it's on the defensive end that we got to do it. Josh Furman is struggling, but I've also seen Furman have really good games for us, and he's got talent. And he's got to – the biggest thing he's got to work on is what Ed Nixon said. He's got to learn how to catch the – they got to do that tennis ball drill so the next time somebody gives him a nice drop-off and it's a bounce pass, he'll actually freaking catch it. Dan Gaetanis, we do need a hard reset. And I will, again, I will happily go with you on they played well, but I am not taking another one of these kind of losses lying down simply because at the end of the day, you have got to play solid defense. You have got to not fall in the trap. You had Kobe Brea and Elvis stopped in the first half because you were playing the right defense. Yes, Santos got off, but Kobe Brea is 1-for-2 and is 0-for-1 from 3. Kobe Elvis is 0-for-3 and 0-for-2. That's what you did at halftime. And then all of a sudden, we've got guys who are not in good guarding position. Jason Nelson gets I don't know what he's doing, and he gets faked out and gives up a 3. Bamisil, Zeb, Bairstow, everybody, seriously, just be in good guarding position for starters and for seconds. Why are you helping? Why? There is no reason for it. If Holmes scores, he scores. Why in God's name would you collapse in and leave Kobe freaking Bryant, the three-point leader in the country, open? Come on. Kobe Bryant was 4 for 5 from three in the second half. He didn't have 4 threes made in the first 3 halves against VCU. He was 2 for 6 in 31 minutes in the first game. Are you kidding me? Come on. That is how you got him started. It wasn't because you know, they ran great offense and got him open, although, again, these were good screens. But you got to fight these screens and get over them. Joe Bama said Michael Bell did this. That's the thing that was really disturbing, is two of your better defensive players didn't do this. And it's just nonsense. Go over the screen every time and live with the consequences. How many times does this have to happen? Dayton was 7 of 11 in the second half. And what were they in overtime? Freaking 2 for 3. So they were 9 for 14 after halftime. God bless America. And that's why I don't want to hear, oh, they played great. Oh, they did this and they did that. That's for another day. They lost this game quite simply because they left people wide open. You shouldn't be leaving wide open. And they did not do what they were supposed to in that regard, time and again. And they all were at it. And yes, Joe Bama still had a great second half. But seriously, you're taking as much off the table as you're adding on to it when you can't make a better effort than that to get around a screen and Elvis hits a three. Chris MJ, here's the problem with him taking a charge. They don't call charges hardly anymore. They don't. And Chris Conway, I'm coming to the same conclusion. I hate to say it. Chris Conway says this team is super talented but poorly coached. That's what it looks like. This is 3 games in a row of the same flipping thing. And that's why that's what makes this frustrating. Because you're letting guys, you know the scouting report, and you know what good three-point shooters Brea is. You know how good Elvis is. Santos, at least they kind of held him down in the second half, but it was everybody else. And unfortunately, unlike the first game, Holmes doesn't miss the free throws. He only misses 3 tonight. He's 11 of 14. That made a big difference. But I cannot stand. It'd be one thing if these were all contested. It would be one thing. They're not. These are open looks. And God spare me the doggone announcer sitting here saying, well, that was a contest. You contest by being there when he goes up. If he has jumped off the ground and he is shooting, you are too late. And people need to understand that. You have got to be there. And the worst part is this. Every Dayton starter played 40-plus minutes. So they should have been getting tired. VCU, they should have been missing threes at the end of the game. They weren't. And that's what really sucks about this most of all. Fats Phillips, I think, is trying to get the ball to half court and then call a timeout, which is what I would want to do. He just poorly executed it. That's a tough position to put a kid who's played 5 minutes the entire game in. And I'm not sure why he tried to go to the end line, because to me, you just need anywhere near the midcourt, call a timeout, and then you can set up something to get a three and force overtime. Oh, God. 42 threes tonight, by the way. They took 42 threes. And yes, they made a bunch of them, but it's just to me, that's 42 threes, 39 twos. That's not winning basketball. You know, and that's, yes, Bruce Stevenson, Zeb. Zeb misses the one in the overtime, and there was another one, and it's like, Zeb, you need to work on this, because time and again it happens, and you need to figure out how to finish with the other hand. I know he wants to get to his left, and he's really good on his left, but you got to finish the other hand and something else. And this is where this game better not be repeated, because it's not sustainable. 32 made field goals, 13 assists. That's not good offense. They were just making a bunch of threes, and that's great. But that's not sustainable. On the other hand, 19 assists on 30 made field goals for Dayton. Which team wins? What do you think? And that's it. You know what, Brian Mahan, Woody? That's a good question. If the goal is to get the ball to half court and have them take a timeout, then, yeah, you have a legitimate question as to why Max Schulga or Zeb Jackson wasn't taking it. Because all you need is a catch and a timeout. That's it. So that's a good question, Brian Mahan, Woody. I don't know. And me neither, Eric Slater. The layups hurt. They missed so many of them. Granted, you know what was interesting? How many did Dayton miss tonight? They missed a bunch of them. And I want to make this point because defensively, sometimes you just have to be there. That's it. Sometimes you just have to be there. You can't and just be a body that's in the way. And sometimes that's enough. And the reason they didn't win this game is that time and again they weren't there, at least on the outside. And so that's how dadgum Dayton shoots 12 of 22 from three. And yeah, I would have liked to have seen Rose, because he can take a couple fouls and whatever. I mean, it's not going to be much worse than what we saw from Furman on the wall tonight between him and 5 points. They started so well, too. And you knew Dayton was going to come back. And again, I felt good at halftime up seven. They did a pretty good job in the first half, except for Santos going off. Again, they had 10 field goals in the first half, Dayton. Santos had 6 of them. Well, and there's the other thing, Carlos Diaz. There were so many possessions where there was almost no post-entry and certainly no quality post-entry. And I do not consider Bairstow backing somebody down post-entry. There's something else that got on my nerves. Oh, he's got a mismatch on Brea. That's a good play. No, it's not. It's not. Bairstow backing it down and everybody just standing there is not a good play. It's not. It's not good offense. It didn't work most of the night. And the funny thing is, Doug Hines, I've seen doggone Ryan Odom this year call some wonderful plays out of timeouts. But for me, the main thing is when Furman's in trouble there, you got timeouts, use it. And he didn't. And that's the killer. God dang it. Wasted a lot of great efforts tonight, at least on offense. Jackson, 26. Schulga, triple nickel, 14, 6, and 5. The foul trouble was a killer. It was a killer. Because Kawani would have had a hot night. And I again, Doug Hines, I'm coming to the same conclusion as you, because when you lose three games the way they've lost these last three, doing the same wrong things, it's like the other night. I mean, and that's the point. Go back to that Richmond game. Oh, these were such tough shots and you just can't legislate. Bull crap. Bull crap. When another team's making 13 shots in a row, they weren't all tough shots. And a lot of them were open shots and easy shots. And yeah, Bruce Stevenson, this has the omens of 2022, which sucks. Because that was a good season that had a lot of hope and ended because this team just simply could not play defense down the stretch. And that is the worry here. Because look, get it through your head, Ryan Odom and everybody else. You are not going to outgun anybody. I don't care what kind of firepower you have. I made the joke about the Death Star offense and all that, and I binned it after the two losses to St. Bonaventure and GW. You turned this season around by playing great defense, and you've lost your way down that side of the floor. You have lost your way. It's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous that we're now playing in a 5-12 game when all we had to do was win one more game. We couldn't do it. The good news is they have won the A-10 tournament from the 5 seed. So it is next week in Brooklyn. It's Wednesday afternoon. Everybody's plans is all screwed up. And maybe you're right, Doug Hines. I'm not going to believe that just yet, because, again, the one thing I'll agree with Dan Catanis is it shows you something that we could go to Dayton and play that well and take them to the wire. Dayton doesn't like playing us because we match up well with them. And it's just a damn shame that we couldn't make a few plays on the defensive end and we couldn't make a few layups on the offensive end, and that really was the difference between winning and losing. But look, we've seen this team rally and bounce back before. They got to show it now. They got 5 days off. That's good. They really need, as Dan Gaetanis rightly said, they need a hard reset. And they need to look in the mirror, and they need to talk about doing the right things on defense. That's what they need to do, because that's where they lost this game. And the thing is, you can't even point at the usual suspects, because Bell and Nelson, who are two of your best defenders, made the same kind of mistakes. So everybody's got to look in the mirror, and everybody's got to talk about that. And everybody's got to figure out how to make a damn layup, because apparently that's impossible these days. And that's a killer, because you've got guards like Zeb and Bamisil and even Bairstow that can take people off the bounce and get to the rack consistently. And it sucks that we can't, that they don't have either, they don't have the confidence to do it, or we can't because of the fact that we're not going to make them most of the time. All right, so here are the plans. We are going to have a podcast looking at VCU in the A-10 tournament early next week, earlier than I would have liked, so we're going to try like hell to have that out for you. As ever, it is good being in the VCU Good, the Bad, and the Ugly group, and if you're not, join us, because we keep track of all our teams, not just the men's basketball team. Unfortunately, one of those teams was the women's basketball team, who had a dream season come crashing to the ground in a somewhat inexplicable but oddly somewhat similar loss to VCU's men's team. They lost 65-63 to St. Louis, and they had a 6-point lead late and then relaxed a little bit and lost. The difference being, of course, in the VCU women's case, free throws is what killed them. So, but we keep an eye on our other teams. We had VCU by the numbers this morning, which usually is a Thursday, but I did it this morning. We'll have a conference tournament report on all our non-conference teams once the regular season is over on Sunday. Unfortunately, some of the teams we played have already been bounced, but that's just the way it is. Well, and again, I can accept that this team fought hard and played hard and battled and gave it and had a go. I can accept that. I just can't accept it tonight, Burt Grant. I can accept Odom saying that because it's true. I just can't accept it tonight because it isn't good enough to do that on one end of the floor and then on the other end of the floor and sabotage yourself. And the thing is, we have seen this so many times with other coaches. That's why this is hard to take, because this loss looks like so many losses we saw, not just early in the season when we didn't have everybody, and you could give the new coach a little grace on that, but the previous regime, we saw this kind of loss all the time, and it all drove us batty. So next week, as I said, we're going to have a pod previewing it early in the week, hopefully out Tuesday or Wednesday. And then hopefully they don't go, they don't circle the drain on Wednesday. Wednesday, I will be working because I only asked for Thursday off. Maybe stupidly feeling optimistic that they would find a way to win today. So there'll be no live video or any of that stuff on Wednesday. There will be a podcast that will hopefully be out Wednesday night or Thursday morning after hopefully a win. And then hopefully I'll get Thursday off so that I can be with you for what would hopefully be a VCU quarterfinal. So also, if somehow you like what you hear tonight and you want to help us out, you can choose some dinero. There's a link to the PayPal in the description. I really appreciate all the support you've given us this year. And, you know, we hope we have a lot more episodes in us. We'll see. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for all your comments in both the game thread and the video. As always, I really appreciate it. Talk to you guys. Either Wednesday night or Thursday, or well, actually, no, hopefully talk to you guys, you know, Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday with a nice A-10 preview. We are efforting a guest for that now. And until then, talk to you later.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.